You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Sacramento Kings are back above 500, and it feels so good. Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast, your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage each and every single weekday in bite-sized formats. This is your place for Kings news, coverage, in-depth analysis and conversations, highlights, interviews. We have it all right here for you, your home for Sacramento Kings conversation every single weekday. My name is Matt George. Hello, welcome. I'm from Sports 1140K. HDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. Yes, indeed, the Kings back above 500, 22-21 now on the season. They get their 22nd win in early January, and they didn't win 22 games until mid-March last season. That's the kind of jump we are talking about by this Kings team. It was a successful weekend in two very different ways. Way one was on the court, Kings beating the Charlotte Hornets on Saturday night, 104-97. And then it was a successful day yesterday for the Kings front office, finally making the decision to re-sign or pick up the options, sign the coaching staff of head coach Dave Yeager to a one-year extension, which then puts them on an even contractual field with Dave Yeager himself. Hopefully it's just a precursor move for a big contract extension for all of them to come here maybe this summer or hopefully even sooner. We'll have to wait and see. So we're talking about all that. Also, the Kings are back in action tonight as they are hosting the Portland Trailblazers inside the Golden 1 Center. Second meeting between these two teams here in the Golden 1 Center. And this is a bit of a revenge narrative for the Kings, who had a comfortable lead against Portland. They allowed the Trailblazers and Damian Lillard to come charging back. The game went to overtime, and the Trailblazers ended up stealing the game from Sacramento. You're looking at 23 wins right now instead of 22, but unfortunately, Kings were not able to get the job done, so we're going to preview that and talk about that at the end of the show. Right now, though, we know for sure that the Sacramento Kings are sitting still in the 10th seed. They are a game above Minnesota, who is in the 11th seed, and half a game behind Utah, that's in the 9th seed. They're also half a game behind the Los Angeles Lakers, who are in the 8th seed, and only 2.5 games back of 7th seed San Antonio. So the Kings still very much in the mix here, although currently on the outside looking in terms of playoff contention, but very good of them to get back over 500. They're now 13-10 at home, which is good. They're taking care of their home floor, 9-11 on the road. They've won two straight, four of their last 10. So that's something they want to turn around and improve. And they did a good job beating the Charlotte Hornets, a defensive battle. It was a bad shooting night, really, for both of these teams. It was ugly from start to finish for the most part. Neither team shooting really above 41-42% for the majority of the game. The Hornets were shooting around 50% early on, and the Kings just couldn't hit anything, but they were using their defense to keep them into the game. And that's a lot of growth that I saw in this game from this young Kings squad. Is just sometimes, now we know how heavily the Kings rely on the three-point shot, and they rely on their offense to carry them, right? And that's an okay identity, especially in the 2018-2019 modern-day NBA. But sometimes, some nights, it always happens throughout every season to every team, the shots just aren't falling. And we're not just talking about for one guy, for everybody. And that really was the case for the Sacramento Kings team. And in the past, when those nights are happening, the Kings would kind of have to or be forced to fold a little bit, or their game would fall out from underneath them because the shot wasn't there. Their best asset wasn't there, and they didn't have the defense, the prowess, the capacity to be able to overcome poor shooting night. But we saw them able to do it here in this game with their defense. Fantastic defensive efforts from Willie Cauley-Stein. You got great defense from Iman Shumpert, who's back in the lineup. And since he's come back, the Kings are 2-0. I don't think that's a coincidence. De'Aaron Fox played great defense as well. You had good defensive production from Marvin Bagley and Harry Giles off of the bench. Everybody came in, and they used their defense to overcome a lot of the offensive struggles. De'Aaron Fox was easily the player of the game for me. Offensively, he carried a lot of the load when the Kings were struggling to score early. De'Aaron Fox took the majority of the scoring onto his own shoulders. He went 8 of 9 from the free throw line, 6 of 15 from the field. He was aggressive, also had 7 rebounds and 4 assists, 3 steals as well, and a block in 30 minutes. He filled up the stat column, but also what doesn't show up on the initial box score is that De'Aaron Fox had 9 deflections. Not to mention, he's guarding one of the most prolific guards in the game in Kemba Walker. Now, Walker did lead the game in scoring with 31 points, so if you were not to watch the game and not to get the proper context, you would see that and think, okay, Kemba Walker had a great game and torched De'Aaron Fox. But he did get 31 points, but he had to take 24 shots to do it. He went 11 of 24, so he shot under 50% for the game. He went 3 of 12 from three-point range, 6 of 8 from the free throw line, also had only 4 assists. He turned the ball over 6 times. So that tells you how difficult De'Aaron made it for Kemba Walker. And Walker really, like, this Charlotte Hornets roster, I think, is better than they look on paper. They have decent pieces. Nicholas Batum is a good piece. Jeremy Lamb is a good piece. Kid Gilchrist, Bridges, they're decent pieces, but They don't have that complementary piece, right? They don't have that seemingly yet, that Buddy Hield to De'Aaron Fox, the Klay Thompson to Steph Curry. They just don't have that in their backcourt when it comes to Kemba Walker and finding a partner. Now, Lamb has shown capability of doing that, but he certainly didn't in this game. He finished with just 9 points on 3 of 8 shooting. So Kemba was forced to take a lot of the load on himself. De'Aaron Fox rose to the occasion on both ends of the floor and outplayed Kemba, despite the fact that Kemba finished with 31 points. Both teams shot in the Charlotte Hornets shot 40% for the game. The Kings shot 41%. Neither shot too well from three-point range each. The Kings went 14 of 37 from three, and honestly, it didn't feel like the Kings had even remotely close to that many threes in this game. They also only got to the line 12 times, hit 8 of them, 66% there. We've been paying a lot of attention to the rebound battles and rebound differential, and unfortunately, the Kings could not replicate what they did against the Detroit Pistons the game before. They lost the rebound battle to Charlotte. However, they weren't killed on the offensive glass, which is a big plus, a big positive, and that's really the offensive glass. Defensive rebounds are going to come, and the Kings are undersized and undermanned for the most part when they're stepping out onto the floor against centers like Bismack Biyombo or really even Hernan Gomez, who came off the bench. Just bigger guys the Kings just cannot compete with yet. And that's something that Dave Yeager has talked about a lot, that this team is also growing. They need to develop body size-wise. They need to develop their strength and be able to also recognize positioning and how to read the ball off the rim. Things like that to make this team a better rebounding team. But for the most part, defensive rebounds are just going to happen and go against the Kings for the majority of the game. It's offensive rebounds that really kill you when you're not able to secure the defensive rebound and you give other teams second chance opportunities. And the Kings have done a better job in recent weeks limiting that and taking control of that, certainly better than they did earlier on in the season. So that's a positive. Buddy Hield finished with 21 points as well. He had a horrific night shooting 8 of 21 from the field. He went 5 of 12 from three-point range, but you know Buddy Buckets, he's going to keep putting it up, and he's going to keep trying to shoot as much as he can. Another double-double for Willie Cauley-Stein. He had a double-double. He was threatening with a double-double really in the first 15-16 minutes of the game, but did end up getting it with 12 points, 12 rebounds. He also had a 14-point, 14 rebound showing against the Detroit Pistons, so it was good to see him establish himself. Also had a couple of steals, a block, and 4 assists, so he's doing a good job making his presence felt all over the stat column. And then, once again, the rookies coming off the bench. Marvin Bagley, Harry Giles, putting in good, solid contribution. They combined for 15 total points. Marvin Bagley nearly finished with a double-double in 25 minutes. 11 points and 9 rebounds. He also had a block and a steal. Harry Giles finished with 4 points, 3 assists, 5 rebounds, and he was all over the place as well. Just good quality minutes, and we're seeing these two share the floor more and more together, and it's just reminding Kings fans how bright the future is for this squad. I've really enjoyed watching them play together. Hopefully, we'll be seeing them play more together tonight against the Portland Trail Blazers. The Sacramento Kings made a great move on Sunday, extending Dave Yeager's coaching staff through next season to, like I said earlier, put them on an even playing field contractually with head coach Dave Yeager. This is something that they should have done weeks, if not months ago, so I'm glad they finally did it. And now the next step, which is also something that should have happened by now, is extending all of them through the next couple of years. Now, Vlade Divac himself also has to be extended, so Vlade is not going to extend a head coach through, let's say, the 2022 season when he's not extended beyond the 2019-2020 season. So that's something for ownership and the Kings to figure out and to work out, I would assume, as soon as they are able to get a deal done, if they end up getting a deal done with Vlade Divac. And I understand them waiting. I guess I understand them waiting. But in my opinion, Vlade, the coaching staff, everybody, they've done enough to me to be able to keep their jobs. Vlade said this team would be better and looking better and feeling good, or he'd step down. Well, guess what? They're looking better. They're playing better. Kings fans are feeling good for the most part. And yes, they're in a playoff hunt and a playoff race, and if they miss out on that, that would be disappointing. However, we knew coming into this year that that was not the main end goal for this franchise. It was not playoffs or bust for this Kings team. It was trying to get better and build, and maybe if you could compete for the playoffs, that would be fantastic, but that would be ahead of schedule. Well, right now, in my opinion, the Kings are ahead of schedule. They're competing for a playoff spot. If they make it, phenomenal. That's the cherry on top. If they don't, well, then it was still a successful year because of the growth that they've shown. Now, there's still a lot of basketball to be played. Things can go wrong, so I guess I understand ownership erring on the side of caution and waiting, taking their time before jumping in and throwing the money at Vlade and extending Vlade, knowing full well that most likely when they do extend Vlade, Vlade will turn around and extend head coach Dave Yeager and his entire coaching staff. But the fact that this coaching staff is coming back is a absolutely fantastic thing, because that coaching staff works their ass off. Not just head coach Dave Yeager, but that coaching staff is phenomenal to watch. If you ever are able to get out to the arena early, and by early I mean the doors usually open for a 7 o'clock game, the doors open for 5:30. I encourage you, try to make it at least once. Try and make it out at 5:30 to be there when the doors open, and then don't lollygag around the concourse. Go immediately to your seats and watch some of the pregame workouts. I don't know if you'll be able to see Marvin Bagley and Harry Giles' workouts. They usually do workouts around the same time. But just watch and enjoy how hard the Kings coaching staff works with these young guys before games, after games, during practice. This coaching staff is beyond hands-on. They're not just, all right, go out and stretch, do what you got to do, get your shots up, and then come back and we're done. They are out there always taking advantage of every teaching moment. And then at the game itself, or if you're watching on TV, if you can, pay attention to the Kings bench, because it's not just head coach Dave Yeager that's standing up, that's barking orders. It's Jason March. It's Elston Turner. It's all of them. Top to bottom, they're involved. And Dave Yeager has a wealth of power, or has shared his power and stretched that power from top to bottom along the bench. He is not, I am the supreme leader, I'm the only one to stand up and bark orders, you run everything through me and I will relay it to the players. It's, if you see something, pull that player over, talk to that player. And that's something that isn't specific to Dave Yeager and isn't specific to the Sacramento Kings, but it's something that is, in my opinion, extremely important when you're trying to develop young players. And that right there, the fact that he has had a competent and capable staff from top to bottom, is the reason why the Kings are effectively developing five guys right now: De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Justin Jackson, Harry Giles, and Marvin Bagley. All five of them are developing and showing growth. Now, I know when I bring up Buddy Hield, people think, oh, he's 26 years old. How can he be developing? Because he's still in just his third year in the league. And look at the jump that he's made from last season to this season. While a lot of that is on Buddy Hield's work ethic and how hard he has worked on his game and how much of a gym rat he is, a lot of credit goes to Dave Yeager's coaching staff and Dave Yeager himself for how they've worked with him, how they found a role with him, especially Justin Jackson. And then if you, like I said, go early and get the opportunity to watch pregame workouts and get to see how Harry Giles and Marvin Bagley work with these assistant coaches, you'll be very surprised and very pleased with not just how hard and how engaged the coaches are, but how receptive the young players are as well. You can tell they trust them, they're bought in, they listen to every word, they learn fast, they pick up on things, and that's why this team is succeeding at the rate that it is. Now, coworker of mine, friend of mine, somebody that I disagree with on a lot of things when it comes to Sacramento Kings coverage is Carmichael Dave. He is a, like I said, my coworker from Sports 1140 KHDK. You've heard him on this podcast a couple of times. He is the host of the KHDK morning show, The Drive, that airs Monday through Friday from 6 to 9 a.m. And he always has taken the pessimistic view. I've always taken the optimistic view. Now, when I heard this news, I took to Twitter and celebrated and expressed my my happiness towards the fact that this coaching staff was getting extended, that the Kings were finally making this move. And Dave took to Twitter and expressed a level of frustration, discomfort, anger a little bit. And it wasn't because he doesn't believe that those coaches should be extended. It's because he felt that the Kings coaching staff and Vlade Divac have shown enough already to be extended beyond just another season. He almost felt that this was a beat around the bush, and I'm gonna put words in his mouth a little bit, and I'm gonna try to clarify what he said and bring it down and cut it down to a bite-sized format here, because I don't want to read all his tweets because he went on a long spiel about it. It's actually a great thread, and what he says makes sense. Even though I disagree with some of it, a lot of what he says makes sense, and it's a different perspective from a different angle that I think is an important key and something to keep an eye on. The fact that maybe the Kings front office is making this move, just trying to buy themselves time and buy themselves some grace with Dave Yeager and the coaching staff through next season, but not committing to them long term. Essentially, if they went into this summer, went into free agency and hadn't extended or don't extend head coach Dave Yeager before free agency, essentially you're using a lame duck head coach to try and attract free agents and try and build upon the positive year that you've had this season without committing to the fact that he could be the head coach and be the guy around there long term going forward. How that has an effect on players and free agency is, remember Rudy Gay. Remember the Rudy Gay treatment, right? Rudy Gay signed his contract extension believing that Mike Malone was going to be his head coach and wanting to stay here in Sacramento to play for Mike Malone. Kings fired Mike Malone very soon after Rudy Gay signed that extension. Rudy felt betrayed in a lot of ways. That has an effect. Head coach Dave Yeager has a great reputation around the league, not just with young players and not just with other coaches, but with veterans as well. And the Kings are going to be looking to try and attract a veteran talent or two to come complement this young roster and help them make the playoffs this summer. So having head coach Dave Yeager as the long-term head coach for this team signed through the next 2, 3, 4 seasons, that, in my opinion, makes all the difference, not just to free agency, but to Dave Yeager himself. Essentially, the line has been drawn in the sand. It's been in the sand for quite a while. Even though we haven't talked about it for a bit, it's been brushed around under the rug recently, and thankfully, we're focusing on what really matters, which is the play on the court itself and the team itself. However, a line is still in the sand between the regime of the front office that wants head coach Dave Yeager fired and doesn't think he's the right guy, and head coach Dave Yeager and his coaching staff themselves. It's clear to me what side the players are on. It's clear to me what side the fans are on. And it's clear to me what side the success is on. I literally cannot come up with a single argument as to why anybody should consider the front office regime that doesn't like Dave Yeager as in the right. It's petty, it's pathetic, it's sad. It's a bunch of people that aren't coaches trying to tell a coach how he should coach because they think they have a better basketball IQ or are better basketball minds. I'm avoiding those people like the plague. There's no chance in hell that I'm choosing those people. I am choosing head coach Dave Yeager 100,000% of the time. And I believe that is where Vlade stands. However, Vlade is unable to do that right now because the Kings organization hasn't chosen him as their long-term GM yet. That's up to Vivek Ranadive. That's up to ownership. And I don't know what more they need to see from Vlade this season to say, okay, he's put us on the right track. Since the DeMarcus Cousins trade, which was a risk, ultimately we're better. And we're going to see that. The Kings are going to end this season with a better record than they ever had with DeMarcus Cousins. Every time I bring that up, I have to preface this with saying that is not an indictment on DeMarcus. That is not an anti-DeMarcus take. That is a measurement. That is a line. That is how you can compare that era to this current era. And if the Kings, young Kings, in their second year of a rebuild, with their best players being a rookie in the third or a second year and a third year player in the backcourt, if that's the turnaround that they can show that quickly when they had a all-star talent for 6 years but could never break the 33 win threshold If they can do that in their second year of a rebuild, that tells me all I need to know about Vlade, all I need to know about their regime, that they are moving in the right direction. So hopefully Vivek Ranadive makes the right choice in bringing Vlade Divac back for multiple years, and then I know, or I'm very confident in the fact, that Vlade will make the right choice in extending head coach Dave Yeager and his entire staff beyond just 1 year. We're talking all the way to the 2022-2023 season. Would love to see something like that take place. Really commit to ending the coaching carousel once and for all, getting the longest tenured head coach here since head coach Rick Adelman. Just allow the Kings to stay out of their own way, put the guys in place that you know deserve to be in place, and let the chips fall where they may. Let it become about basketball again, and let this team do what they're already showing they can do, which is compete for a playoff spot and then hopefully develop into a championship contender. So it's the Kings and the Portland Trail Blazers tonight in Sacramento. Last time these two teams played, the Kings fell short in overtime, 113-108. They were outscored in the fourth quarter. Actually, they outscored Portland, rather, in the fourth quarter, 26-20. They had themselves a comfortable lead. They had come back from 14 down at halftime and looked like they were going to be able to close the game out. And then the Portland Trail Blazers went on a massive run in the final few minutes, led by Damian Lillard, who finished with 25 points. He had a rough shooting night, only 8 of 21 from the field, but he came alive when he needed to. And the Portland Trail Blazers is a reason why they're consistently a playoff team and in the playoff conversation. They showed the Kings how to close out a game, and closing out a game, at least during that stretch, this was game two or three of a stretch where the Kings, it was the ones that got away games, right? They had lost to the Lakers. They had lost to the Warriors a couple of times when they'd had the lead late. So this was just a learning experience for them. And unfortunately, one of those trial by fires that you have to go through. I know the Kings were very frustrated and disappointed after this loss, so they're looking to avenge that here tonight. Now, there's a lot of things for this game that I'm going to be trying to pay attention to and keep my eye on, but I'm only going to cut it down to just a couple here for the podcast itself. Ultimately, it's making sure Damian Lillard has just as difficult a night. Same thing with CJ McCollum. Both Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum had bad shooting nights in this game. Lillard finished with 25 points on 8 of 21 shooting. McCollum finished with 16 points on 8 of 19 shooting. It's making sure they have similar nights like that. If they get 25 points and 16 points on that bad of shooting, you know what? I'll accept that. I'm okay with that, and hopefully the Kings can replicate that part of the performance. However, what they can't allow is a 24-point, 23-rebound night from Yusuf Nurkic again. Nurkic absolutely murdered the Kings on the glass, including 5 offensive rebounds, 18 defensive rebounds. He took Willie Cauley-Stein to school. Now Willie's coming off of 2 back-to-back fantastic games. But in this game, in the Kings-Portland Trailblazers matchup last time, Willie in 33 minutes did have 11 rebounds, but only 5 points on 2 of 14 shooting. So they're going to need more offensive production from Willie. Also need him to do a much better job crashing the glass. It's not just him. It's the Kings in general. Whoever is in, box out Yusuf Nurkic. Make sure life is as difficult for him as possible. And also, when Seth Curry comes off the bench, Curry had 18 points in 22 minutes, including 4 of 6 from 3-point range. Don't give him room to operate, because it was Seth Curry that gave the Trailblazers a lot of life in the first half and allowed them to build that 14-point halftime lead. So it's controlling what you're meant to control, making sure the pace is there, trying to make life as difficult as possible for Lillard and McCollum, making sure rebounding is not as lopsided as it was in this game, as the Kings were absolutely crushed in the rebound battle, especially by Yusuf Nurkic himself. So just pay attention to that. If the Kings are able to do that, I like their chances to make up for that loss and get another tally in the win column, become 14-10 at home and 23-21 on the season. We'll see if they can get the job done. I will be at the Golden One Center tonight. If you want to come by and say hi, would love to see you. Let me know. Reach out to me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK or via email mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. If you want to come meet me, would love to say hi and chat with you a little bit before the game, during halftime, or after the game. If I can get some free time to be able to do so. Also, following the game. If you want to be a part of tomorrow's podcast and leave your feedback on this Kings game, let me know. You can call in to our brand new Locked On Kings podcast voicemail box, and the number for that is 909-566-0232. So be sure to take advantage of that. Have your chance to be on the podcast tomorrow. Sam Amick, his report, or he broke the initial report that the Kings were re-signing the coaching staff to an extension or through next season. So I'm going to be efforting to get him on the podcast here in the very near future. He appears on the Locked On NBA podcast frequently, so check that out as well. But Sam Amick is a friend of mine, a friend of this podcast, and I'll be doing everything I can to get him on the show in the near future so you can hear directly from him what he's heard about the future of this organization, the front office, the coaching staff, and everything around the NBA. So working on that. Hopefully I can get that done very, very soon. I know he said that he is interested and available to come on. It's just as simple as working out a date. So I promise you that very, very soon here on the Locked On Kings podcast, and I promise you more great coverage to come tomorrow and in the days that follow. Until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.